It takes a supernatural act of God for me to read without comment. But it is truly beautiful. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, talking to his Father. And so thankful that John and the disciples were present to hear it. That spiritual things don't become old. And so John recorded the prayer that Jesus said to his Father. And Jesus spoke these words, verse 1, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. And you know surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. Verse 9. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, Judas. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world has not known you, but I have known you. And those who have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, and the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. If you want to learn how to pray, why don't we listen to the one who knew how to pray the best? Glory to God. The Lord told Amy some years ago, he said, I've called you to prophesy. And he said, I want you to read my prophets, because as they heard my voice and spoke, you'll hear my voice and speak. Glory to God. There's something about John 17, and we'll get into some of these truths here today, where Jesus, come on, closing his life, lets his Father know it's time. I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to go give myself, come on, to the cross, to the grave, so that those who have heard me, they may also be sanctified in you, right? And so a couple weeks ago, Amy and I took, just last week, I guess, 9-10 days ago, Amy and I got up early on Thursday morning and caught a 6:30 flight down to South Florida. And we were unable to do an anniversary trip this year for schedule, so I said, we'll just do it as soon as we can do it. And the kids got back in school, and so we took off for just a little quick two-day. And at this point in life, Amy would rather go do something nice for 2 days than to go do something kind of normal for seven. And plus, if you're, I found out as long as you're away, it takes you that many days to prepare and that many days to catch up. So you do a little 2 day, right? It's just easy. You don't have to prepare too much, and catching up's not too hard. And so we have a friend of ours that works for the Marriott, and so we get a friends and family discount, and we were able to snag the Ritz-Carlton again for $200 a night, and cheap flights down. I think round trip was like $130, and so we just moseyed on down to South Florida and had a great 2 days. Well, you know, up until a few years ago, I had never stayed at the Ritz. You know, we stay at the Hampton, right? And if you're really, you know, feeling living large, you stay at the Holiday Inn Express, right? And then once I got a friend that works for Marriott, he kind of changed the game. Oh, hallelujah. And so in the city of Naples, there's two Ritz, because the whole town should just be called the Ritz. And so there's two Ritz. There's a golf and there's a beach, and the beach costs twice as much as the golf, but the golf has access to the beach. They'll just drive you over there on a shuttle and drop you off, and you get access to the whole resort. So, and not only do we stay at the golf, which is half price, but then we get the discount. So, I mean, for $200 a night, you just can't beat it. And just super fun. Well, it's a whole new world for me. I'm from West Virginia. I'm from the hills of West Virginia. I'm from a holler in the hills of West Virginia, all right? And so, you know, to stay at a swanky place, a five-star resort type of place, is just different for me. And I enjoy it, right? But I'm cool. I could just stay anywhere. I can sleep in a tent tonight in the backyard or out in the woods. I'd be cool with that, too. Amy, not so much. But we're on a trip for her, right? So we're doing more than glamping. We're hitting it right. So we walked out after we were there, and it was a tough trip. Now, those 6:30 a.m. flights, ugh. That's for a different breed of person than Amy and I, you know? But because if you're going to fly budget, you got to go when they're going, and that's when they happen to be going. And so if we had to get there that day, that's what we did. And so in order to catch a 6:30 flight, we have to get up at 3:30. Well, if I'm up at 3:30, it's usually because I'm up. Not because I'm up. Right? It means I stayed up till 3:30. Getting up at 3:30, that's for other people. And how many of y'all are those 5 a.m. whether the alarm clock goes off or not people, are you? Just stretch forth your hand and pray for them. Lord, just help them. My biological clock, if I could have it my way, would be 2 a.m. to 9 a.m. And society doesn't approve, you know? So anyway, Uncle JP does it, and he makes $1 million a year, but I don't get away with it. I got to take my kids to school. So we go 2 a.m. to 7 and just squeeze on 5, you know, and so, or 1 a.m., squeeze on 6. But we had to get up early that morning, and Amy is always full of joy. I mean, honestly, so there's a rule in our house, only happy people are allowed to live here. I didn't make the rule, she did. And she lives that out. She's just always happy. But if you want to just see her at, like, level 8 joy instead of level 10, get her up at 3:30 in the morning. And so she's not real thrilled to have to, you know, just a little short, you know, just I could tell, just leave me alone, right? Let me do my thing. Don't talk to me. I'm up. So we struggle to get there and get you rushed to the airport and you rush to park and you know, and we finally got there. But, you know, we had a goal in mind. We knew that once we got there, the Ritz awaits. Right? There's a reason we're going. So we're rushing, working extra hard to get somewhere so we can sit and do nothing. And on Friday, that's exactly what I did. Nothing. The package came with a free breakfast, and so we got up and went down to a swanky breakfast with a, you know, really nice waiter. Took totally great care of us with a little omelet chef that cooked Amy an omelet. And we're just sitting there looking out at the most beautiful golf course, just doing nothing. It's just wonderful, right? And then we went over to the beach resort, and parking's prepaid, you know, and this little deal. And so I have to give the little valet guy $5, you know, no big deal, but just go in there and sit on chairs that are out there, and they come and put an umbrella by your chairs, come ask you if you want anything to eat or drink, you know, and so you're just like, sit right there and just enjoy the waves and enjoy talking and enjoy conversation and just do nothing. And we're walking around the resort as we're making our way, you know, here to there and, you know, back and forth. And Amy's just stopped and said, you know, they just don't miss anything. There's just no detail that's gone unnoticed. You know, if you go to our house, it's kind of nice. There's a lot of details that have gone unnoticed, right? I won't go into all those details. And so, boy, we'd be here all day. And so, no details gone unnoticed, right? The flower beds are perfectly weeded. Everything is, all the shrubs are cut perfectly. Everything is in the right order. It's in the right place. There's no trash anywhere. They have thought of everything. You walk inside and they've got pitchers of dispensers of water, and then they've got a dispenser of cucumber water for people from some other country, and then they've got pitchers of orange slices and lemon slices in the water. You know, it just puts a little refreshing citrus in there. Man, you just try them all, you know, and you drink that cucumber, you go, who would want that? You wash it down with the good stuff, you know? And everywhere you go, they just, so good to have you here. And half of them know your name. You don't know how in the world do they know my name. They open the door and say, have a great day, Mr. Adkins. And I'm like, what am I wearing? Did I wear my badge here? What's going on, right? They don't miss a detail. And it's Greg and Sally's fault that we ever even went to a place like that to start with, because Greg was telling me about, man, when you go to the Ritz, you know. He said, they found out it was Cam's birthday. He said, we came back into our room and they had a cake. Well, was it a car cake, Cam? What was it, a NASCAR or something? Had a cake prepared in the room waiting on him when he got back. Why? Man, if they find out any detail. We went down for an anniversary 4 or 5 years ago, and they found out it was our anniversary. They asked you when you check in, are you here for special occasions? Like, yeah, we're celebrating an anniversary. Man, we got back to the room that night. They had a plate with chocolate-covered strawberries and had written in chocolate, happy anniversary. I'm from West Virginia. I'm from the hills of West. I'm from a holler up the hills. After I ate the strawberries covered with chocolate, I licked the happy anniversary chocolate off the plate. They don't miss a single detail. And so this time, you know, we're not rookies anymore, right? We know what to expect, and we know. And, you know, it's funny, when you walk in at first glance, it's not like so overwhelming that you can't believe it. It's just the consistency of excellence in every detail. And after a few hours, they just get you. And so we're walking down the stone marble steps, you know, out to the beach, and Amy just stops. And she said, you know, just think about how much more beautiful heaven's going to be. Come on, if the Ritz-Carlton doesn't miss a single detail, think about what Jesus said in John chapter 14 when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And they said, Master, we don't know where you're. How do we know the way? Jesus emphatically, John 14, 6, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And he has gone to prepare a place for us. Listen, that place is the eternal habitation of God and man together. It's called heaven. And I'll tell you, if I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning to catch a crazy cheap flight to get to a place where I can know that the Ritz-Carlton awaits, it drove my intention in my mind to this reality that no matter what I'm doing in this world, there is something that awaits greater than anything I could experience with my eyes here in God's creation. I'm going to a place that's already been prepared for me. Now, I love this about heaven, because on the earth, we're operating in the grace of God and participating with Him, right? Co-laboring together with God to manifest heaven on the earth. But heaven that awaits, I have absolutely nothing to do with His creation. He did it for me. He's done it for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places, right? One for each of us. And he hasn't missed a single detail. To the desire of your heart that he made, come on, heaven awaits us. And we're to live our life with that reality. That's what we're running after. Listen, a man without a vision will stumble all of his life. To go in 100 directions, trying to pursue 100 different things. But if there's a goal in mind that's clear, you can make every step effective towards the goal. And as much as this life is pulling on us in 100 directions, Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, help them to know that they are not of this world any more than I'm of this world. Because they have received me, that now they are in me as I am in you, and we are all one. And since I'm not of this world, they're not of this world. And I love verse 24 where he said, Father, now glorify me and show them the glory that I am in even before I came to the earth. That's what awaits us, that we get to participate with Jesus, that he laid down his glory and humbled himself, Philippians 2 said, and came to this earth as a man, only in the form of God. But while he was here, he did not consider it robbery to continue to think of himself equal with God, because although he changed locations, he was still the Son of God. And in his death, taking on our sin and our shame, he made sons of this world back into sons of God. Sons of darkness translated back into sons of light. The chasm that was between has been bridged with the cross. And we're on the other side through the resurrection, that now we too are righteous as he is righteous. And we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, inseparable with him. What awaits us is eternity. Man can't fathom eternity. John Bevere points out in his book, Driven by Eternity, that one definition for eternity is an infinite matter of time. Another definition of eternity is to step outside of time itself. He points this out. Science could not get away with this in any other realm. To have two differing definitions for what eternity is. But the reason that they can't come to a clarity on what eternity is because man can't fathom it. We're created with a limited mindset. And to be able to comprehend the fullness of eternity, it's totally foreign to us. It's so much bigger than anything we can imagine. Because take the biggest thing you can imagine and multiply it by infinity, and it's still not to the end. And it's so silly that we live our life still focused on what is temporary. The Apostle Paul grabbing a hold of this, it's a spiritual mindset, right? You can't have a complete spiritual mindset without developing the eternal mindset. That the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, while we do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen, temporary. Sam, the things that are unseen, those are eternal. I love, again, what Karen Wilson said in the sweet, you know, Karen, Harry's wife's like the Jesus' sister, right? When she's around, I don't even feel like I'm saved. She loves people so much, loves Jesus so much. Karen so sweetly stood right here and she said, remember, the only thing we get to take to heaven with us is people. Right? The only thing we get to take to heaven with us is people. So, come on, if we continue to have, how often do we have to come back to talking about heaven? Man, it seems often. Right? Jesus talked about it. Jesus brought it to the understanding of his disciples. Why? Because Jesus used it as the gauge to which he was running after. He, in his opening of his prayer, let's look at it again real quick. John 17. We'll just read the first three verses. He said, I spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to where? To heaven. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you've given him. And this eternal life, that they may know that you are the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life. So not only is heaven perfection, but it's perfection forever. And just because your mind can't comprehend it, doesn't mean your spirit can't connect to it. To let your heart then be the guide for the decisions of your life and the motivation behind what we do. That if we forget about this truth, right? If you're on a straight line and you just get 1% off, it's not a big deal at the apex. But if you continue out, that 1% continued out still creates a mighty gap. And so without, being brought back in to clarity, not brought back in to the absolute truth of eternity. Oh, come on, we'll all get our eyes off just a little bit. I need this, I want that. Wouldn't it be great? Shouldn't we have that, right? And again, I'm not against material things or against temporary things at all. Jesus said in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and then all these things will be added unto you, right? There's absolutely nothing lost by making sure I'm pursuing the things that my Father would have me pursue. Think about Jesus. He lost nothing by keeping his eyes on the goal, keeping his eyes on the target, to please his Father, to do the will of his Father, and to focus on, I am changing eternity. I love the part in John 17 where he says, now, Father, I'm coming to you. But the words that you gave me to give to them, I've given to them, and they're going to take those words and give it to men so that not only those who have already received me, but those whom they tell, they will also receive me, that we all may be one. That as Jesus was focused on eternity, we see then, so was Paul. We see then, so was Peter. That nothing moved them. We see then, so was John. We see then, so was Silas and Barnabas, right? So were men and women who heard the words that they spoke and they believed. And by believing, they become one in Christ, just as we now are continuing to become one in Christ. That we have not received a watered-down version of what began. We have the purity, just as Jesus himself had it. What awaits us? The same heaven Jesus lives in himself. Glory to God. What do we escape from by receiving, eternal life? What are we, not only are we going after the Ritz, but we're avoiding the Motel 6. The roach-infested Motel 6. The one built in 1947. I told you guys about that honeymoon cruise we took, right? And they built it as a cruise. It was actually a boat ride. And they called, said, you can't hang up. Don't hang up. If you hang up, you lose the deal. Well, anytime somebody does that, just hang up. I was 21 years old. I didn't know. Actually, I was 20. 21. I was 21. And so I didn't hang up. I let them talk me into it. And so I bought this Bahama, Florida vacation. And we were on a cruise ride on the Discovery Sun, the 1961 cruise ship of the year. And once aboard, I was certain that the original green carpet was on the ship from 1961. Come on, you ever checked into a hotel and you didn't even get your bags unpacked and you had to turn around and leave? Stuart and Katina told a funny story last week when we were over at the pool. They checked into one room, Stuart said it was so bad. He said he turned around to pick his bag up that he brought in, and Tina had already got both bags and had them out of the room already. She's already in the car by the time he decided, I don't think we can stay here. I remember going to Pigeon Forge with my Aunt Emily one time, the same deal. She walked in, she saw a roach, she's back in the car. We are out, right? We are gone. So, knowing the Ritz awaits you, right? What are you escaping? Not only, you're not just escaping the Hampton Inn. Come on. You're escaping the worst of the worst. Hell was never created for man. Matthew 25 says that hell was created for Lucifer and his fallen angels. Isaiah prophesied that hell enlargeth herself daily. Why? She wasn't created for man to go there. Man was not created to be separated from God. But once sin entered in, come on, God had a plan. God always has a plan. His plan, his name is Jesus. He gave us eternal life. I got thinking about the book, the movie, The Finest Hour. And it's a really cool story. And I'm like a movie spoiler here lately, haven't I? If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. But it's a story about Bernie Weber, 1952, February 1952. And he's in the Coast Guard, and he's stationed at Chatham Station on Cape Cod. And a northeasterner, you know, storm, big storm came, and they had multiple rescue calls called in that night from the ships off to sea. And so there were two stations close by, and the two other stations were busy taking care of another call, and they received a call of an oil liner that had split in two. And 41 passengers on board, and the captain, John J. Fitzgerald, and seven of the crew went down on the half of the ship that had split in two. Now, the ship split in two because it had had a crack and was supposed to be fixed. They didn't fix the ship. They sent it back out, and then this massive storm arose. And so the ship literally, and it was discovered because one of the crew members is walking on the top deck and nearly walked off of a several hundred foot drop, and he noticed, hey, half the ship's missing. He runs and tells the rest of the crew, well, thankfully, 33 of the crew were still on this side of the ship, and they had to figure out what do we do. And so they do their best to have a plan, and they knew there were some shoals, and they ran the ship up onto some shoals, just hoping that somebody would come and rescue them before it took on enough water to go down. Well, the story of the Coast Guard then, they've got to make a choice. Can they go out? They've got boats out, right? And there's one boat with a young man, about 25, 26 years old, who'd been married just 18 months. Now, the movie tells the story a little bit different to make it more romantic. But Bernie Weber decides we've got to make an attempt. So he gets a light crew together on his boat, and they go out. Well, to get up over, let's see what it's called. I wrote it down because I knew I would forget. To get up over the Chatham Bar was dangerous in any level of storm. But in this level of storm, it was nearly ridiculous, right? The guys, they tried several times to get up over, and the guy said, we're just not going to make it. But he knew, if we don't go out, they're going to die. And so they just gave it everything that they had in the boat to get out. They got up over the bar, and they estimated the wave size that they crossed was a 60-foot wave to get up over. And so they finally get out to sea, but in the going over the wave and the amount of water that they took on, the windshield cracked, the radio equipment is out, and they're left only with one light, with no direction, and they're out in the vast sea, knowing a simple direction, it's over there. They follow the stars, follow the light of the moon, and they get out there and almost hopeless that they've lost hope of finding it, and they find it. They see one man on the top deck. He runs, and a dozen men come back. They run back, and a dozen more. There's 33 men still alive. Well, the boat that they're on, the skiff that they're on, is designed to hold less than half of that. But one by one, they begin to climb over the rail to come down. 33 men, and one man, a gentleman who was large, over 300 pounds, slipped and fell into the water, and it was cast out to sea before they could get to him. And their attempt to get to him, the boat actually strikes the man, and he passes away. But 32 of the 33 men on board get onto that boat. Now, the weight of the men was going to impede their ability to get back over the bar, to get back in, right? But they had a motto. We either all live, or we either all die. We're not leaving anybody. Man, when I heard that, it just sent chills down me. We either all live, or we're either all going to die.
but we're going to do this together. And I thought about those of us who have received eternal life. If we're not careful, it's so wonderful. It's so glorious to be able to talk to the Creator of heaven and earth, to be able to have His love unconditional on the inside of us, to know Him, to not be moved anymore by darkness and not to be moved. We've been set free from addiction and set free from pain and suffering. We've been set free from sickness and disease. The curse of poverty has been broken off of our life. And living for God is not hard. Jesus is the narrow path, but the way is not difficult. Running is difficult. Drinking and drugging is difficult. Right? Jail is difficult. Being broke all the time is difficult. Right? Not knowing who you can trust, difficult. Living for Jesus is not difficult. It's wonderful to have that life-giving Spirit on the inside of you every day. It's so wonderful that we rejoice daily in His goodness. His mercies are new every morning, and it's radically changed our life. But if we're not careful, we can be in the comfort of the boat and forget. It's not natural death that awaits the ones that don't get on. It's eternity separated from God. What if the Church of the Living God took on the mentality, we either all go to heaven or we're all go to hell? What would change in our motivation? If my ticket into heaven was dependent upon me making sure everybody else got there, how many more people would I talk to instead of passing by them? How many more people would I just shake their hand and say, God bless you too, and just wait on somebody else to come and actually tell them the story, that I would actually stop and just say, hey, you got a minute? Come on, I'm not preaching at you to throw stones. I'm just preaching at myself. I told you when I started, today's just about me. It's my birthday. It gets to be. I'm stirred more than ever about eternity that awaits. What awaits us is perfection. God has not missed a single detail. And once we get out of this temporary body that we're living in, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, it's not even a waiting period between. Step out of this flesh, like the old song, we take off the old coat. Come on, we put on the new, the glorified body. Heaven is just a massive receiving party. And for those of us who are alive and remain at Jesus' coming, the very first thing we're going to experience in heaven is the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're moving right into a celebration in this place. And we're so funny that we save up 2 years to go look at Mickey Mouse and give him all the money that we worked for 2 years so that we can just for 4 or 5 days walk around and go, whoa, look at it. I need some more sugar. It's been 20 minutes, you know? And so I've done it, right? You've done it. We're going to all do it again. But when we're conscious of this reality, Jesus said, Father, help them remember. They're no longer of this world. They were. Now they've been born again, bought with a price. That God Almighty is now my Father. I am now His Son. And eternal life has already been given to me. What's waiting on Jay? No matter how hard this life is, no matter how difficult tomorrow is, no matter how many struggles we go through, no matter how much comparison we have with other people, no matter how much above or beneath the socioeconomic standard of life we thought we would have is, oh, heaven awaits. For the little woman that could put in two mites, heaven awaits, right? For Barnabas, who sold his mansion and gave the whole money to the apostles for the spreading of the gospel, heaven awaits. To the little widow that fed Elijah with her last meal, heaven awaits. To the poorest of poor on the wrong side of the tracks with one tooth in their head, heaven awaits. To the richest of the rich who lives in a 12,000 square foot mansion and flies on a private jet, heaven awaits. to all of us who call upon his name and believe upon him, the same reward is awaiting us. Let's not let anybody fall into the water. Let's not let anybody fall into the fire. Let's be conscious today and tomorrow when we wake up. Man, didn't matter if I had to get up at 3:30 this morning. Something's waiting on me. But it's worth it all. Hallelujah. And let's do our best to not pass by and be like a Levite, right? Be like a priest. Let's be the Good Samaritan. Let's live the red letters to always know who our neighbor is and be conscious of the fact that there are people hurting. And man, my victory just is the answer. My seed is probably their harvest. And just live like Jesus every day. Why? Say it out loud. Heaven awaits. Amen. Say it again. Heaven awaits. Man, isn't it true? Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed. I think today was just on purpose. If you're in this place and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't leave this place without doing so. He loves you. God sent his son to live for you, to die for you, and to live again forever for you so that you could have this eternal life. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, don't leave this place today without doing so. Why? We're going to rejoice with you. If you're here and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, would you raise your hand? Come on, I want to pray for you. I know it takes a little boldness. It takes a step of faith, but that's how we come to God, by faith. By faith, we believe on him. By grace, salvation comes to us, not on what we do. It's what he does for us. It's a free gift of life. It's a free gift of right standing with God. Anybody in this place that needs to know him today, with an uplifted hand, say, that's me, Pastor. I need Jesus. I just want to make sure before we go. Come on, my heart was stirred this day. I know it's a recalibration for all of us to live for him. But it's also, come on, for anybody in this place that hasn't yet made him Lord, don't leave here without doing so. You're already with family. You don't even know it. I'm looking one last time to the right, in the middle, to the left. Anybody at all says, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to know him. I need to ask him into my heart. All right, just making sure. Come on, while your heads are bowed, I'm just going to pray a prayer of consecration. And hook your heart up with this. You know, I even thought this morning of all of us coming down to the altar and just getting on our knees together. I believe our hearts are in unison this day. Not one of us, come on, is untouched by the truth of God's word. I'm so excited. Paul got so excited about heaven, he said to be absent from the body, he says to be present with the Lord. And then he said in one place, and I believe it was one of those places he was beaten with stripes or beaten with rods, because he said, for me to die is far better. But he said, but for me to stay is for your gain. Paul got so close to death that he said, I could actually have just gone on, and that would have been far better. Man, he had a glimpse of heaven. What awaits us is far better. Father God, we dedicate and consecrate our lives afresh and anew for you to work through, for you to live through, for you to speak through. Lord, make our voices loud and clear in our generation, that we will speak and make known the truth of what you've done for us to all those who will hear. That our lives are a shining example of light, goodness, your grace, your mercy been poured out upon us. That we would not be in a situation that we would fail to share how good our Father has been to us. That truth may penetrate the heart, cause man to come to you. We ask it today in Jesus' precious name. If you agree with that, say amen. Come on, our lives dedicated to him. Amen. What do you got? Something to add? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, what a great message to stir our heart today. We have a souls conference coming up next week. We're calling it a souls conference not just because it's a soul-winning conference. We're not going out into the streets, per se. Maybe we will. But it's a souls conference because we're going to pray for souls as Jesus said to do. And we're going to realign our hearts
to just let some men and women of God pour into us to make sure we get our focus 100% on this, not temporarily or not moved with emotion, but that we honestly are running after the call of God. Amen. So our Souls Conference is coming up. It's going to start actually for us Sunday morning next week. Joe Morris is going to be here at this location.
And if you'd like one of these, Tony has some in his hand to give out too. So make sure you take one. You need one. Take
one to a friend.
How many you need, take them. Just so you know, and you can be prayerful about coming. We also have a video we could show about it also. It's ready to go, yeah.
Yeah, let's show the video. It's a good video. It's exciting. We good? Hey, we want to invite you out September the 22nd to our Souls Conference in Lexington, Kentucky. We're so excited to have with us Joe Morris and Patsy Caminiti.
Yes, we are. Patsy Caminiti, Patsy Bierman, when I was in school, taught me how to pray. And that's something I'll never forget. She was just a little young girl who knew Jesus, knew the Father, and her life is proven. Now with Tony Caminiti, her husband, her family, they're going around the world doing great things. And she's a speaker in a whole lot of bigger meetings, but she's coming to Lexington with Joe Morris, and we're going to have a series of meetings. It's going to be wonderful.
We're going to start on Sunday night at 6 p.m. on September 22nd. Then we're going to have day services, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and then night services at 7 p.m. on Monday and Tuesday. Finish up the week on Wednesday night with Joe Morris. It's going to be an amazing time in the Lord, and we're going to pray for souls and set our prayer life ablaze. We really want you to come out. Family Amen. Worship Center Church, Lexington, Kentucky.
Be here.
Hey, that was good. That's my daddy. Wonderful. Yeah, let's show that too.
This is a recap of the picnic from last week.
Oh, man. All
of people the baptism. It was so much fun.
Exciting.
I'm glad you didn't get me eating a burger.
Did you notice there was no...
Good job, Norma.
There was no chicken at that event.
No chicken.
Only the Lord's meat was there. Oh. It was wonderful. We appreciate everybody came out. And it's exciting to baptize so many and got to baptize Summer.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it. I should have said something there, but that was the spot we started our church at. It was just right up.
It was in the shelter house number one.
Shelter house number one at Anderson Dean Park. Mm-hmm. So it was full circle.
It was.
18 years later. This week, actually. So yeah. pretty awesome. Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's sow into the kingdom of God. Amen. You ready to give this morning? Come on, Brother Billy. Yeah. Receive this morning's tithes and offerings. We got an extra good-looking usher in town this week. TJ's in the house. And two ways to give at Faith Church. You can give digitally by texting in securely to the number on the screen, or you can give traditionally with the envelopes there in the seat back.
Amen, amen. Good. That was fun at the pool, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. That wasn't nearly all the fun we had, but that was a good highlight of it. Oh, well, everybody ready to go ahead and sow into the kingdom? Get our treasures in heaven. Come on, no matter what we acquire here, it can't compare with what we get there. And what it honors the Father, you know. It's, you know, whenever Joe Morris, I get to hear him, and even thinking about heaven, you know, it really changes your perspective. It's so easy to get distracted and just get focused on here and now and whatever issues or problems or circumstances are going on. But there is an eternal one. And, man, it's eternity for somebody. Everything that we sow, everything that we give has an eternal weight to it. So whenever we sow, I always encourage you to sow with purpose. Come on, this isn't an obligation just to, I got to give my tithe, I got to give money, somebody's looking, something like that. This is between you and the Father. And don't just cast it away, you know, okay, well, this is my part. Sow with purpose. Man, speak over that seed. Speak over increase for somebody. Speak over changes coming for other people. It's cool because whenever we do it, whenever our heart is to help others, it always comes back on us. There's just a law of sowing and reaping. I mean, whatever we sow, not only are we going to get it back, but we're going to get it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in a way that we could never do it ourselves. So let's sow with purpose today. Let's give with the intention that good things are going to happen with this, that people's prayers are going to get answered because there's going to be ability to go after people, go after situations that normally we wouldn't be able to, that people are going to come in, and if they're going to hear the gospel, they're going to be at the right place at the right time, that eternity is the point, and a heaven does await. Come on, we don't want anybody to go to a devil's hell. It was not made for man. It was made for an enemy of God, the most selfish one ever. So let's go ahead and give. Father, oh, man, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Dad, what an honor it is to be a part of this kingdom. What an honor it is to know that what I can do right here and right now, no matter how little or how great, can affect somebody's eternity, can provide provision that may open their heart up, Dad, to receive the gospel, to receive their Father the way that he was always meant to be, that they never got to see him before. Dad, I pray that we really, really see the weight of this. And everywhere we go, not just here, not just now, but everywhere, Father, that our giving changes things. Our giving is a testimony to how much we believed you and how much we allowed you to be trusted in our life. Dad, and I thank you for it. I thank you for increasing our mind, our heart. Dad, I thank you for increasing our ability to give, our heart to give in every area, Father. Thank you that as we do give, Dad, that you're taking care of us in grand style, that you're providing doors to open, you're providing abilities that we never could have done ourselves. Dad, you're just being good. You're causing favor to follow us everywhere we go. Dad, we thank you for your love, and we call it blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, they're fighting for the bread up here. You wanted him to sow the bread. Vicky Singleton does such a great job. We all fight over the bread for the first-time visitors and special guests. It's good. You know, just on my heart this morning, as I got to go around and shake hands, well, there are several college age, career age,
yeah,
you know, 18 to 25 year olds, and celebrating one today has a birthday. Emma Kaiser, happy birthday. We love you. God's got big plans for you. But just knowing that God's stirring their hearts. No, I just wanted to speak a blessing over them. A blessing over
them. That means get up here real fast.
Well, if you'd like me to, in your college age and you're here, I believe you're on purpose. Nothing scary is going to happen. Pastor Jay and I are just going to speak a blessing over you. You know, it's time to go, but we hate to make time
absolutely
for the Lord to touch your life.
Absolutely.
And if you came, it's on purpose.
Absolutely.
And he has something for you. So, Emma, you want to come up here? It's your birthday. Start us off.
Yeah.
If you'd like us to pray for you and your college age, career age, or it's just on your heart. You need prayer this morning. Get down here.
Yeah,
we're going to put a blessing upon you. Cam's
we're
here.
We're proud of you. Cam's finishing Farrier School this month. How many more weeks you got? One more week. Hey, man, it's been an intense 9+ months, and we're proud of him. Amen.
Amen.
And when are you leaving? Your dad told me the good news. You're going to do a semester abroad. Oh, good. All right, good. We got a few more months to get ready for that. Don't worry. She's going to get ready for it. It's exciting, isn't it? God just opening up all kinds of doors. Come on, we're going to leave you with a blessing today in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I follow your lead. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Lord, we thank you for the blessing this morning on each one of them. Lord, you just laid it on our hearts.
Yes, Father.
That you wanted to direct their path and let them know that they are hearing your voice.
Yes.
And each step you have prepared for them. Lord, so we just seal that plan.
Thank
right
you for
now
the blessing.
On his heart.
the blessing of the Lord.
Increase great
favor of God.
Given to him. Oh, thank
Thank you for opening doors, Lord, for him that no man can open, putting him right in the perfect will, the perfect place that you have for him, putting him before great men, causing increase to come to him and his family to come. In Jesus' name, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, the favor of God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Yes. Yeah.
This is the way that she needs to go. Oh, and how that she'll hear your voice, it'll be even clearer now than ever before.
Yeah.
That every time she lays her head down, you're speaking to her. Oh, that she'll be able to look back on these journals and things that'll come. Lord, it'll be greater than anything she's ever seen before. This season, Lord, it'll be great increase and prosperity in Jesus' name. We still have
light.
Plans.
Light. Light, light from heaven on the inside. Light that burns so bright. Light that shines light in the middle of every place you go. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The blessing, the blessing, the blessing of God, the favor of God upon Michaela's life. Glory to God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. All those plans are sealed. All the dreams you've given her, oh, that they're very alive and real. Now, there's some parts that'll spring forth suddenly this season.
Yes.
Oh, in this time, in this semester, oh, that she'll see your great favor and your hand upon her and feel a great peace to come along with that. No more burden, not a struggle, but at the right place at the right time. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you.
Glory to God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank
Glory
you.
To God.
Thank
favor
you.
From heaven. Favor from heaven. Plan comes to pass. It will not tarry. Glory. Every bit of it comes to pass.
Jesus'
name.
Oh, I thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
By your spirit.
Glory
to God. Oh, into new steps with a fearlessness and a boldness. Oh, that joy will replace any thoughts of depression or any sadness.
No.
There'll be a freedom in her step and in her walk to do all that you've called her to do. In Jesus' name. That's it right there.
Heaven awaits. The plan of God in full force in her heart. Blessing and favor of God carrying her all the days of her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all. We love
you.
We love you. This won't be the last time.
Love you. Love you. I love sealing the plans on you. You all got to do big things for the Lord.
Come on, God has spoke to Amy's heart in some big ways concerning this age group. And so we're going to keep laying hands on them. Keep blessing them. Not just that age group, but all those young ones. Amen. Hey, I can't give you a lot of details because we don't have a whole lot yet, but we've been in Florida the last 2 weeks, and we're going to be able to help a church launch. And so it looks like we might have Faith Church Bonita Springs, campus number 2, launching pretty soon. So it's exciting, and probably by next week we'll be able to give you all kinds of fun details. And so you're one flight away from going to Faith Church in Florida. How much fun will that be? And so we won't be there every week because we're here every week, but I'll get to go down occasionally and working with a team down there. And so it seemed like we're just the catalyst and spearhead they needed to push the ball on over. So we went down last night and expected a group of like 40 to show up, and there was almost 100. And they're hungry. And so, man, we're hungry people. Our God will do something big. So we're really excited about that, and you'll get to be a big part of that. It'll be a whole lot of fun. And I'll be here Sunday morning. So we flew in this morning on one of those fun 6:30 flights and got into Lexington at 8:30. And so anyway, we'll give you all kinds of fun details. You'll love it. Amen? That was like clear as mud, right? Hey, and by the way, there's a second church you didn't know about, right? Until you know details, it's kind of hard to give details, but it really is exciting. So you may start seeing some stuff on Facebook before we get to talk, and if you do, like, hey, where's that picture of Pastor Jay in Florida? That's where I was this week. We love you. Anything else?
No, I just saw your happy birthday. Happy birthday, Pastor Jay.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Emma. Happy birthday to all the... Any other birthdays this week? Hey, it's a little after 12. 12:04. We didn't do too bad. I'm glad I came today. How about you?
Amen.
Hey, does anybody have friends and family on that Gulf Coast, South Florida? Anybody got friends and family down there? Do you? You do. Andrew's brother's there. Who else? You got friends and family there? All right. How cool is that? I think these guys are going to land in the right north of Naples, south of Fort Lauderdale, in the Bonita Springs town. is, I think, where this church is going to end up being launched. And so real fun bunch of people we've known for about 20 years and been friends with. We've been working camps with them and developing relationships with them. And our mutual friend David Fleming working with them. So it's a big team, a lot of fun. And I think it'll be fun for all of us. It'll be something really, really neat. So anyway, we'll see you Wednesday night. Beans and cornbread, 5:30, service at 7. Have a great, great, great rest of your week. It's going to be a hot one today. 93, I think.